Should be a transaction.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, senators. And we're going to continue on now with our adopting common and similar language. Staff did point out to us in the provision around motor carriers of railroad employees, and this is in the House Section 60 through 18, Senate 37 through 39. There is an issue about where in statute this should be placed, and I think we do need to do a motion on that. If Senator Murphy could briefly explain that and then make the motion.
Mr. Chairman and members, after talking with Ms. Pierzowski, who was involved in all the meetings that surrounded this portion, they felt that the Senate language would be more appropriate because, as Ms. Newman correctly pointed out, it fences this section off from other related sections of law, which is it part of a House provision. So MnDOT would have to do more of these assessments on more than what we actually wanted. Is that right, Mr. Levine? And so there would be some fiscal implication. The way the Senate language reads, MnDOT is more comfortable with that.
Okay, well,
with that, on page R34, I would move the Senate language for section 39. Okay, I'll just move the Senate language in page R34, section 39.
Senator Murphy moves the Senate language in section 39. Discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion carries.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Murphy.
I have just two smaller amendments in. I'm sorry, did we adopt the A-15? Okay, I only have one then, it's the A-16.
Okay.
And the A-16, it just corrects a cross-reference in some of the airport authority language that was enacted in last year's bill. And I think the Mr. Strigge had to go, but you know, he's one of the airport folks that we rely on. And he said that they really needed this amendment so that they could continue to move forward. So it just corrects a reference.
Okay. Again, another technical amendment. Is there discussion to the A-16? Discussion? Okay. Senator Murphy renews his motion to adopt the A-16 amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. So, I know that we have one House member has indicated to me that she would like to make a motion, or at least discuss a possible motion. So, Representative Suarez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It is a bill that was carried by Representative Benham from the Cottage Grove area, and it has to do with careless driving resulting in death. I know that this did not make it through the committee process in the Senate. I also know that it died in the Finance Committee in the House. And yet, she is very passionate about this, and I gave her my word that I would bring it up today. And I don't want to move this as an amendment, but I do want to ask that perhaps the Senate would consider getting at a hearing next year, and also that we might be able to review it next year.
Okay. So thank you very much, Representative Swales, and I'll ask Senator Murphy to respond in a minute, but this is probably a good opportunity to, we don't have a hard and fast rule, we're not rigid about this, but in general, Senator Murphy and I had an opportunity to pre-meet and just discuss the House and Senate provisions in general, and while there will be possibly some exceptions, but I think in general we want to make sure that the provisions we adopt have at least been heard in one side or the other and passed minimally in a transportation committee, but ideally through the entire process. Now, we know that's not going to, every amendment isn't going to necessarily meet that threshold, but this particular bill, this House file wasn't, I don't believe, heard in the Senate, so we're certainly, I mean, not going to be able to move that.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Swales.
Then I would like to move on R40, the deletion of Section 42. Which would be the registrar's office in the city of Harlingen.
Senator Dibble?
Was the motion to delete Section 42?
Yes.
I don't know if that's necessary. I mean, I think just there needs to be an affirmative motion to include anything in the conference report, so we need to bypass that. Unless someone votes to include it, then that motion would need to be included.
Include it, then we'll vote it down.
Or, yeah. You know, I suppose, I guess I've never seen that in the conference report. So that would be a very affirmative way to reject it.
Thank you, Senator.
So, yes, Representative Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Rickley, I don't think I should be addressing you or Senator Dibble. I think maybe it was Senator Carlson who carried the Senate file on the careless driving this year. And I'd just like to reiterate, I know I've been an author on this bill now 3 years running. I would like to see this bill move forward. I'm thankful that Representative Swales brought this forward. And I just would like to rearticulate that the House is trying to move this forward as well, and I hope that we can get this done. It's an important bill, especially for our motorcyclists in the state.
Sure. Senator Dibble.
Thank you. A question for Senator Murphy. The Transportation Committee supported this.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dibble, yes, we moved it to, we voted in the affirmative and moved it to Senator Moss Committee, and I did not receive a hearing.
Chair, I will commit to speak with my friend.
Okay. Senator Dahl, did you have a question?
I guess I just wanted to comment on this. I am a co-author on this bill, too, and though I prefer not to have bills heard that, you know, here that don't make it through either body, you know, both of them, I would support this particular provision. It is important for the safety of our citizens.
Well, I hope, thank you for that, Senator Dahl, and I hope Representative Pulaski sometimes reminds us of this, that, you know, we are going to be not adjourning signing die, so at least that I know of, and so we'll, you know, this is a, we'll take this up again early in 2010, and I think we have a good commitment from the Senate on it, and I think we can assure our observing and we'll be discussed it. Hopefully we'll be able to move it past the Transportation Committee in the Senate next year. We have another amendment, the Tina Liebling's, this is the 09624, it's an odd coding. This is no repeat suspension. Members, this amendment is being distributed now, and this is a House file that was originally introduced by Representative Liebling, and Senator Latz had it in the Senate, and it deals with driving under suspension related issues, and I don't know if we have someone who's been working this.
Well, I'd like to hear from Ms. McCormick first, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding that Senator Latz and Representative Liebling worked through some of this language and then put put the effective date out to 2012 so that the department could get their computer system in order. But I want to make sure that that Ms. McCormick's going to be able to do this before we make a commitment.
Ms. McCormick.
Thanks, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, Pat McCormick with Driver and Vehicle Services with the Department of Public Safety. Our department, as well as DVS, opposes this amendment. The moving it out to 2012 is not the issue. We would be able to support the current language that's in there about the driving after suspensions, but the language of Representative Liebling's bill is much more comprehensive and really would impact many traffic violations, so that they would not, drivers would not have the deterrence from committing further violations. And so we're very concerned that that language would not really protect the public safety. I've talked at length about it in the House Transportation Committee. We haven't had, this bill has not been before the Senate Transportation Committee. Representative Liebling's language is significantly different than Senator Latz's version was in the Senate. In general, I think the message that we would like to give is that right now the department has a driver license sanctions committee that is made up, has representatives on this committee from all parts of the criminal justice community. It has members from the courts, from the public defender's office, from the county prosecutor's office, from corrections. And we believe that this sanctions committee will have recommendations available at the end of September this year, and we believe that then we would have a report that we would be able to share with legislators, so that we could look at what would be appropriate sanctions, because we know there is an issue with people just continuing to get into the circle of getting driving after suspensions, and we know that is an issue. We're looking for a way to provide meaningful sanctions for people that are violating the traffic laws.
Okay, thank you very much. It's very helpful to get the department's perspective on this. Do any members have any questions of Ms. McCormick or comments?
Well, I would just, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Murphy.
I would just ask Ms. McCormick, if you have your preferences, what would your preference be? Leave everything out?
Ms. McCormick.
Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, I think our preference would be that we would like to be able to present our report about the driver license sanction and move forward with initiatives where we have buy-in from all the criminal justice community representatives. But we certainly would be able to, we would be fine with the language that you have in the Senate version of the bill.
Thank you, Representative Lowe. Discussion. So again, just to review, this amendment before us is different than the Senate language. And so, Senator Murphy, I don't know if you think maybe that would be an option versus waiting for the task force. Those are a couple of items we could work on.
Well, Mr. Chairman, why don't we just lay this aside and talk about it.
Okay. Thank you. This is very helpful to have your perspective. We have another provision. Senator Murphy, did you want to move any of the Senate provisions that are you would like to move here?
Mr. Chairman, if you're ready for a series of motions, I've written down several here.
Okay, let's get. I love it.
Okay. Well, I haven't quite vetted this all through the Senate conferees. Well, I'm going to offer up mostly Senate language, so.
For the newcomers, this is par for the course in the conference committees.
Yeah. But, Mr. Chairman, first I need to say a couple things to kind of get them off my chest here. You know, and this goes back to some of the policy discussion that we had, and there were a lot of provisions that we ended up throwing out, and there were a lot of provisions that we changed substantially. In the end, we finally got a product together that met the governor's approval and signed into law, which was a good thing. I thought the process worked pretty well, but you have to understand from, at least from my perspective and maybe from a couple other members' perspectives, you know, we felt as if we had been run down. And for several different reasons. I mean, you know, we have election certificates, just like the governor. And as a matter of fact, if you took all the votes that the legislators got in their individual districts and you added all ours up, it would surpass the governor by about 18%. So we obviously have a say in the game here. And, you know, the discussion around the rail issue, I can understand why, you know, things broke down on geographical basis, especially high-speed rail. But there were other issues that were brought up, and there's other issues in our bill today that lead me to believe that, you know, that, well, let's take them individually. One is the issue for the Dozicki, is that what it is?
Days?
Okay. You know, we can't put that language in the bill because the governor doesn't like it. We can't put, even though that's what the people in the town want, we can't do it. Then, well, no, this is the word that we're getting back from the governor's
office.
Even
though it is technically, I think we did move that language. Did we?
Like and similar.
No.
Okay.
Not on the Senate side.
Well, but anyway, there's all these other issues that we have in this bill that just leads me to believe that we're being asked to capitulate to all of the governor's requests, and especially when it comes to high-speed rail, some of the rail decisions. All we were asking for was, like the line down in your neck of the woods, Senator Dahl, make sure that that's part of the list.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we keep hearing back that, hey, we're going to look at all the identified lists, all the identified routes. Well, who identifies the routes? And are they all on the table or not? And now, as much as I, you know, trust the commissioner and the folks from MnDOT, DPS, right down the line, you know, we've got this long history with our governor. He vetoed the Chapter 152. He's vetoed the money for high-speed rail not once but twice. When he was in the House, he fought against all the transit that was going on, and it didn't matter if it was the commuter line up the North Star or wherever, he fought against it. And now there's federal money involved, and it changed the discussion of the game, and he became a champion. But, you know, I'm kind of wondered about how long this, no offense, Representative, how long he's going to continue to be a champion for rail, because we've got all these other things, and I just wrote down a little list of stuff. He says, okay, let the state rail plan take care of it because they're the professionals, they can do that. He said that also about the 21st Century Tax Task Force that he put together. They came back with a bunch of proposals to make our tax structure more fair. He ignored that. The Task Force on Education Finance Reform, they came back with a whole bunch of recommendations that were good, and he ignored that. And then there was a citizens forum, and this is particularly disturbing, on health care costs and cost containment. This was headed by Senator Dave Durenberger, who is probably the state of Minnesota's foremost expert outside of Linda Birdland on health care in this state. And what, that was ignored as well. And then we came to the Healthcare Transformation Task Force. This was appointed by the governor again, and he disagreed with the whole issuance of insurance and everything else that was in that. So we've got this history where the governor says, hey, you got to trust me here on this, and then nothing happens at the end of the day. Well, we want high-speed rail to happen. We want stuff like the Dozicki Festival to be able to happen. Now, I trust MnDOT. If they say that they've made a commitment and, you know, they put it down on black and white, that's one thing. But, you know, y'all work for the guy who keeps telling us that, you know, we can't do a lot of these things. So I'm a little nervous about putting a lot of things in the bill that we would like to have because I'm not too sure whether or not the governor would go along with it. And that's everything from the Highway 14 EIS to some of the language that our railroad brothers and sisters wanted. I'm Representative Hornstein, I'm kind of at a loss for words here. The emotion's high, but I mean, we want all these things to happen, but it's on a trust me basis, and I don't know how much trust there is.
I'll comment, and then I'll have Representative Morrow also comment. I agree, Senator Murphy, with a number of the things you said, and let it be known here for history, I am quoting Representative Biskins here. He did say on the House floor last week or 2 weeks ago that an agency doesn't have an election certificate. I think that's what Senator Murphy's point was. But I think we want to balance the expertise and the input we get from the agencies who we have a collaborative relationship with, you know, what our members. I mean, we're here representing each body. We're here representing the House. We're here representing the Senate. We have members that feel passionately about provisions that they've worked very hard on. And it's ultimately our decision as to which of those provisions gets included. I'm going to certainly be advocating for the Dozicki Festival as well as other provisions such as labor provisions in the passenger rail plan, which I understand today the governor has a problem with. Well, you know, it's the position of the House, and I would hope and will advocate that it be the position of the Senate that we include this, and let's, you know, let the conversation begin. So we'll have to balance the interests of the executive branch with the interests of our members and our bodies. That's the process. That's democracy. So, from my perspective, I'm not going to reject every single thing that piece of advice that the executive branch or an agency gives us. But I'm certainly not going to accept 100% of it either. And so, you know, our job is, I think, to balance, you know, that give and take that we have. So, you know, again, we're not. We'll do our best to give the governor a bill that we have some degree of broad consensus on. But, you know, if there's one sentence or one provision that he doesn't like, and I mean, I think we're just going to have to, it's compromise. I mean, that's what compromise is. And so, again, we'll try to address the concerns as best we can, Senator Murphy. But in the end, you know, we're the legislative branch, and we need to move forward with that. So with that, that's my quick comment, Representative Morrow.
Well, thank you, Representative Hornstein, or Chair Hornstein and Senator Murphy. You said some of the things I would say, but Senator Murphy, I have to say, you and I sat in this room at 11:30 about a year ago, I believe, and we thought we had a policy bill done. And then we found out, nope, there were two more provisions that were problematic. And we had to meet again, and we had to meet again. And I think we got a list of six bulleted items on the transportation finance bill that we just did. And I think we ended up doing all six of those items. So I'm glad to hear Chair Hornstein say, you know, at some point compromise means coming together, not moving to one end of the spectrum. I also have something to say to MnDOT. MnDOT, I think, as Senator Murphy is saying, is trying to repair some of the damages of the past. in relationships with our local communities. I know we have Rochester in the room. I know North Mankato. I know Owatonna, Dodge Center, and others. There's some frayed feelings, and there's some distrust. And I think we see that distrust reflected in some of the legislation that's in these bills today. And while I do agree with MnDOT and Christian Commissioner Sorrell that things are moving forward to the better, I don't know that we're there yet. And so for that reason, I'm going to keep pushing for some of these individual bills, because until the time that that bridge is completed between MnDOT and the communities, until that trust is fully restored, I think we have to fight for some of these individual pieces of legislation. It may not be the best thing to do policy-wise, but given the history of distrust, we're going to have to continue pushing them forward. Thank you, Chair Bergeson.
Thank you. Are there any other members that have some things they want to get off their chest? Okay. Well, I understand that Senator Murphy has a couple of bills that are going to be up shortly downstairs on special orders. I also understand the House will be reconvening relatively soon. And I know this is going to be, a lot of the stopping and starting, but we've had a lot of calls of the House when we've convened. And, of course, the Senate, senators have to be present when they're voting. And so it would be my strong preference that when we adjourn to the call of the chair, which would be our next motion, that we'll reconvene when both bodies have completed their work for the day. Unless we run into a situation in which both bodies have a fairly extended recess that parallels, then we'll convene. And Senator Murphy's working on a fairly expansive motion that will... I think move us significantly forward. It will include a lot of House and Senate provisions. Again, we've tried along with our staffs to look at some of the provisions that have passed committees in both bodies. We're also, having said what we said, there are a number of provisions that we understand the agencies have concerns with, and so those aren't necessarily going to be included in this motion. Some will be. But we will be presenting a motion to the committee for discussion when we reconvene that will move us, I think, very close to completing the work of the conference committee. So you're going to have that. It'll be printed out for the committee members and the public, and we'll have a thorough discussion of it. But it's still our thought that once we reconvene, that it'll probably be for the last time. So with that, I will adjourn us to the call of the chair, and that will be, unless we're looking at after 11 o'clock or so, when both bodies adjourn. Thank you.